Hi,
Hello.
Diana.
Hi.
How are you today?
Tired.
Tired? What happened last night?
Oh, it's not really that. I've been up since really early and had a million things to do. And there's three calls today, and oh my gosh, we're going to Big Town tomorrow. So.
You're going where?
Going to the Big Town tomorrow. Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hello.
Hi, Rita Marie.
So I've got to do stuff in one day today. So I can miss
one. Yeah.
Lab draw. It takes the entire day.
Going for lab draw? Oh, all the way to
Idaho Falls.
Boise?
Idaho Falls, which it might as well be Boise. They're only 25 miles difference as far as the crow flies. A lot longer than that.
Wow.
To get to Boise, it's only almost three to get to Idaho Falls. So.
Well, at least we won't have a snowstorm like last time.
Let's say that.
There's no chance, right? I mean, seriously. No.
There is.
There is.
Really?
It doesn't matter what the weather report says. We can have snow and hail anytime.
Mm-hmm. That's what I hear.
Oh, my. That's awful. There's Jeannie. Hi.
Hi, Jeannie. I see people checked in.
I missed you the other day.
Yes, I was. Let's see. Where was I?
Raise my volume.
Yes. There's Diane. Oh, I forgot. I was going to wear my tiara.
Tiara. Yes.
I'm going to go get it for you, Diana.
Did you wear it for Drina yet?
Did I what?
Have you worn it for Drina yet?
No, I didn't. I just had a meeting. I should have. I just had a meeting with her Monday.
Yeah, I told her to make sure she asked you about that.
Yes, I will have to do that. I didn't even think about it.
You know, you missed the tour of Diana's garden on Tuesday, so watch the replay. She showed us all her flowering stuff and her herbs and yarrow and all kinds of stuff. It was really fun.
I'm going to do another 5 or 10 feet of the garden just outside the door if we have time today. So.
Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah. Excellent. I don't know how many people are coming. The only one that RSVP'd was Jeannie. You know, this happens at this time of year as we, you know, it goes, oh, yeah, I have too much to do, whatever. So anyway, we're here. We can keep it short. We'll just check in, see how everybody's doing, get a little tour, and we'll have it a day because I have a huge busy day, usually busy day. And this week was crazy because when we put together the newsletter last week, I'm like, are we really having that many calls in 1 week for one? Like, seriously? But like all the special calls, like the Maria call and then the tapping. Did anybody make the tapping? Because I didn't.
Yes, I did.
Good? Yeah?
Mm-hmm. It was excellent.
It was good. Good. Mm-hmm.
People were really, I think it was really working for the demos.
God. Awesome. Yay. And then what did we have? And then today we're having a special IRSVT call plus this call plus the regular office hours, and just trying to fit it all in is like, ow. Think about my schedule on top of that, all the other calls. So yeah, if we call it a day early, that's fine. I know that Karen Marion, is she on?
I am.
There she is. Karen Marion, RSVP. That's right. And there's Paula, Jeannie, Diana, Angela. Okay. So good. So yeah, I didn't see you, so I didn't remember, but I looked at it earlier and you had a question about the toenail stuff, the toenail fungus. And there is a fancy name for that thickening of the, we just say thickening, but the whatever something is. And yes, it can be related to fungal. And your question about, is there something internally or is it just, you know, it's always something internally, right? Anytime, but we all get it, right? You get some kind of infection on your skin. Oh yeah, you got the infection on your skin, but the reason you just didn't fight it off and go away is there's an imbalance, and we all have imbalances. We don't live perfect lives. We sometimes don't sleep enough. You've been through so much stress and, you know, the last whatever weeks of being in there and doing your rehab and just being in a hospital situation exposes you to air filled with garbagey stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's likely that, so that the way you approach it is yes, topical, tea tree oil, wrapping, the whole bit, but also what can you do internally to improve your immune function? So those are the things. Extra vitamin C is always helpful. That's probably going to help with your wound healing now. Herbs like reishi tend to be really good for stuff like that. Not specifically for fungal, but because reishi is so immune supportive. Astragalus, maybe not. Astragalus is more like after this is cleared, then do it. Like do periodic astragalus in your smoothies and stuff to just support the immune system. So those are the kinds of things that I would be looking at. And, you know, you could do an internal antifungal, but, you know, maybe Pau D'Arco tea or something light or mild, nothing major that's going to maybe disrupt other things. But I also wanted to congratulate you because you said that they said she's had this knee surgery and what did they say, 6 weeks before you would even get it to 30 degrees and you were there at 2 weeks and now you're almost at 90 degrees. And so the healing that you're having plays all says a lot about the work you've been doing to get your body in balance.
Well, and I have to tell you, and I don't know if I'm unmuted now.
Yeah, you are.
But I have turned my rehabilitation room into a mini kitchen. And I eat none of their food here because it's all so unhealthy. And this is supposed to be a rehabilitation center. So I am really, I think, skyrocketing through all the recovery estimates because of what I'm eating.
Because of what you're eating. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And they need to learn this. I don't know how the best is to do that, but, you know, they have their budgets. They got their government subsidies. They got all the crap. Yes. And they've got mindsets that, you know, they've been programmed by big food and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But this is all the stuff that we as a collective whole, you know, us in this group and in our practitioner trainings is little by little, it's changing, right? Because you now can go to the store and buy coconut yogurt and all kinds of probiotic foods. And people are talking about low glycemic. So it's getting there. It's just not as quickly as we all, you know, would like it to be, but we're getting there. Oh, beautiful sky there, Claudia. Hi. So you're making an impact more than you might think. Cause these people are looking at you like, who is this nutcase in that room over there?
I think they are.
You won't eat our food, but there's going to be some of them that are really opening their eyes. And then happened to Karen Osborne when she hurt her knee and had to have surgery. And she was in and out of that center like really quickly. But she said, they want me to take these drugs, these drugs, these drugs, these drugs. These are for this, this, and this. And you know, I'm not a this for that person, but I became this for that so that she could satisfy the staff there that she was handling all the concerns they had. Here's your antimicrobial. Here's your anti-inflammatory. Here's your, what was the other thing? Pain relief. Here's this. And I gave her all these herbs. I just went through my cabinets and made her smoothies and juices. And I just went to the hospital and brought her this stuff and made her a list. And we actually posted that handwritten list to our NEPT practitioner page. It's in the files. We might want to post it to ERC too, because I think people will get a kick out. And plus it's like, what do you do if you're undergoing surgery and they're going, nope, you have to take this. Nope, I'm taking this instead. Nope, I have to. And there were some homeopathics and herbals and nutrients and a really nice, well-rounded protocol. It was all taken from stuff I had in my house, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Right. So they're learning, but she said to me that one of the nurses came in and sat with her and says, please tell me what is this, all this stuff you're doing. It looks really interesting. And so Karen explained to her and she said, the reason I don't want to take the drugs is this. And I don't want to get my liver this. And she just explained, and these things are actually helping my body to heal, not suppressing my symptoms. And this is why I'm doing it. And this is what, and she went through each thing. And the nurse was just like, you know, that might make an impression on that nurse in working, whether it's with her own family, her own friends, but every person that we touch with this matters, right? And they open up their eyes and they go, huh, maybe. And some people are going to go, oh yeah. Like my sister, when I was telling her about Claudia's stuff with the natural vision, the optometrist, my sister, oh, we know that that stuff's all bogus. That doesn't work. It's really must've been pseudo myopia and pseudo this. And I'm like, oh yeah. And I just dropped the conversation at that point. Okay. I went from a 4.5 prescription to a 2.25 and I could get better if I'd actually spend the time doing the work. But I did that. And oh yeah, you must have had pseudo myopia. Like, okay, I don't care what the hell I had. The process I went through got me to the point where I can see better. And don't discount it just because you don't have it in your arsenal. Why don't you learn how to add it to your arsenal? right? So anyway, that's what we're doing when we're, these people are seeing it. We have one oncology nurse that's in NEPT. And when she heard me speak on a session, it was on a really obscure summit that I was on with David Weinfall. And she heard me speak and she goes, oh, I want to find out more about that. Like within 2 days, she joined NEPT. And she was like, oh my God. And oh my God, I got to tell my people this. And so she actually does IVs in the oncology ward. So she's sitting with people for hours. And she says, these people are asking me what to eat, you know, and how to take care of myself. And she goes, I didn't know. And now she says, I'm teaching them and I'm talking to them and I'm looking at old labs that people have been running. And I'm going, they're misdiagnosing this and they're misdiagnosing, they're missing this. So it's really cool. And I call it like infiltrating the system, right? To get, so the more you're in there, think of it as this gift you're giving to the world, that one, two, whatever number of these folks in the standard medical rehab kind of role are going, huh, that lady over there, she healed in like a third of the time that most people do. I'm going to look at what she's doing, you know? So anyway, yeah. Good for you. Good for you. So oh, awesome.
Thank you.
Dr. Rita Marie, may I ask you to repeat that tea that you recommended for the fungal, the antifungal?
Rishi or Pau D'Arco, yeah. PAUD'ARCO. It's just a mild antifungal. I'd rather her not start to like bombard her system with heavy duty stuff like that because it could throw off flora, but just like a little Pau D'Arco tea, your typical stuff of low glycemic and, you know, all the good stuff and the greens and stuff. But you're in a hospital setting, right? You're in a rehab setting with unhealthy people who are running around taking antibiotics loaded with funguses because of that. Ooh. And so your exposure and then your immune system's obviously weakened from having had the surgery. And, you know, so it's to be expected, right? You're not in this pristine environment, sitting at home, you know, lapping in the luxury of your beautiful, clean home and getting a fungal infection. You know, you're in an environment. That's the worst of what you end up walking out of the hospital with, you know, toenail fungus. Okay, yeah. We can handle it, right? Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah, really good stuff.
Okay.
Okay. So cool. Anybody else has stuff in there? Let's see. From the nail down, apply either apple cider vinegar or tea tree oil. Yep. Every 2 hours is great while awake and while you're sleeping, wrap it in gauze, you know, like soak the gauze in it and wrap it so that it's exposed for the whole night. And then put some, you know, something that's going to prevent your bed sheets from, like, not that you care. It's not your bed sheets. It's theirs. But, you know, it leaks out if you don't, right? So then you don't get as much in there. So wrap it with like a... one of that water resistant tape or something. I'm sure they have something you can put it on there, or even just a Band-Aid. Yeah. Yep. It's good stuff. And it really does work. You know, if it gets bad and it doesn't go away, like when it gets really resistant, I found that castor oil or that extract from castor oil, the calcium undecylenic acid that's in Thorne's product, SF722, works well. You just pop open those things. But castor oil can be helpful because that castor bean is very antifungal. Yeah, if you have castor oil. Yeah, cool. Are you talking to vaginal yeast infection, Claudia, or toenail?
Yes, yeah, vaginal.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you recommend for that?
With that, you know, wrapping your toenails in apple cider vinegar isn't going to help, but apple cider vinegar vaginally could be pretty uncomfortable. But there are some suppositories you can actually make. Getting probiotics up there to restore the good balance. And the best way is you can actually get those little molds at Amazon. They're little suppository molds. They look like bullets. And you melt down some cocoa butter. And then you mix it in with probiotics. And then you can all, yeah, I would put separate ones. So then you put that in the molds. And then you just insert them vaginally. You know, at night, obviously, when you're not walking around.
Right. What oil did you say? Not coconut oil?
I would say cacao butter as opposed to coconut oil. And the reason is cacao butter has a very high temperature at which it melts. So it's more like in the 90s where it melts, whereas coconut butter will melt in the 70s. So you're going to have to keep them in the refrigerator if you make them with coconut oil. But if you make them with cacao butter, you can keep them in a container that's not. And just the thought of sticking ice cold coconut butter thing vaginally or you know, it doesn't feel really good.
What about, I have shea butter, like raw unrefined shea. Is that, you know,
I know what, I know shea butter, but I don't know that it melts, what temperature it melts at. I don't know if it's emollient enough that it's going to melt vaginally.
Right.
As soon as you put that cacao butter in vaginally, boom, it's melted, right? And you can actually elevate your hips, you know, get in bed, elevate your hips, put it in. And yeah, that could be helpful.
I will try that. I will make my own suppositories. I love it. And what probiotic, is there a specific one or any more? Like, does it matter?
I would say a broad spectrum could be fine. What one you have? You have...
I have a bunch of different kinds.
Not digest. It doesn't matter. Like with going orally, if you have SIBO or you've got sensitivity, you got to be careful about the ones with the D-lactate. But going up through, you know, into the vagina or rectum, you don't have to worry about that stuff. So I don't know if there's particular ones. Book I highly recommend people get is Tori Hudson's book, Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine for Women. And she has all those kinds of things in there. She has a company called Vitanica, and they sell suppositories. But so you can do it that way. But it's probably quicker to order the molds on Amazon and make it yourself than to wait for hers to get there. But she does have a variety of products, if that's
right. I will get that book too. That sounds wonderful. And then I also have a urinary tract infection, and I've tried juniper berry and like a blend, but it doesn't go away. And D-mannos. But should I try the Uristatin product?
If you haven't tried Uristatin, go for it.
Okay.
It works so well for people with resistant and with recurrent. And
okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
It's something where, you know, a lot of times bladder infections happen when there's increase in sexual activity. And so, you know, there's the hygiene kind of things. Like, I know it's nice to just kind of bask in the afterglow, but getting up right away and peeing is super important in cleaning because it prevents the migration of the bacteria into the urethra.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Anybody else? And Lynn, do you have anything else to add for the bladder or the, yeast infections, because I know that you really liked the Uristatin product.
Yeah, because I have them recurrent, I haven't for a while now. But I put some stuff in there in the chat about some things I did because I used to get, with my sixth child, I was actually, I knew I wasn't in labor, but I was having these lower belly pains. And, of course, I live in a small town, so they're not as sophisticated, plus they're affiliated with the Mayo Clinic. Mm. And so, I mean, the doctor, the first thing they do is they put an IV drip in of antibiotics. And I'm almost immediately, like in 3 to 5 minutes, I had that thing ripped out of me because I'm like, I will get a UTI. I did not have a UTI. And they showed I didn't have a UTI by their urine test. But I did end up with one because the antibiotics did that. So anyway, and of course, you know, the doctor's up to his elbow inside of me, pretty sure I'm not in labor, nothing's dropped. But to be sure, I have no health insurance, so that was something I loved being for, to Rochester, to the Mayo Clinic. And I was really upset because all it was, I mean, mother of five, hugely, I was like 8 months pregnant with number six. I was exhausted. My muscles, I had sat down to rest and my muscles had started spasming. And I went to the ER anyway. So that just, you know, so I'm very familiar with UTIs. And Uristatin is really, and so some of what I've shared comes from, because I also would get yeast infections. Another reason why I need to.
Well, they're connected, right?
With my sugar. Right.
Yeah.
Well, the sugar is a really big, so sugar and stress.
Yeah.
So anyway.
And obviously not bumping up your vitamin C intake. Vitamin C is very important to keep up with.
Vitamin D.
D, absolutely D. What's your level of D? Was your level of D optimal?
You're so funny. You did that on purpose.
Claudia,
mine is like in the last test, it was like almost 80. So, and I do take 4,000 milligrams, grams, micrograms of vitamin C.
It sounds like you're on the right. I use, but it sounds like
the better recommended yogurt with oregano oil, but I could not get the yogurt to get, you know, those little pull-up thingies, the little plastic things that you get with the yeast cream. I could not get this. And it was too messy. And the oregano oil was really stingy. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yogurt is a way to get what I just told you about making
right. But you
are. It's less messy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I didn't do the, so I just took the supplement and stuck it up because the pill would.
Oh, did you, were you able to do that? You put it up? Oh.
I just stuck.
Try well, that. That
was, you did what, Lynn?
She just put the capsule up vaginally.
Oh, the probiotic?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
You could do that. That's a good idea.
I don't have any more capsules. I just have powder, but I guess I can order capsules. That should not be that difficult.
Either way, the suppositories will melt. We know they're going to melt. But the capsules should if they're not coated. If they're not coated.
Yeah.
I will try the capsule thing and maybe get the cacao butter because you can also eat the cacao butter, right? If you don't use it for the suppository.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, really good. Perfect. Thank you.
Food medicine. We're all about food medicine. Yeah. Yeah, very good. All right. Okay. So, yeah, Lynn has some good stuff in there. So, copy it down and. Oh, who else? Jeannie, you had something, and I can't remember what it was from the other day, but then you got found the answer. So
I do have one that just happened today or yesterday. But, I just started taking the P5P, and then I have several new things to take, but I wasn't, I'm taking them slowly. So
yeah.
Yesterday for the first time. And then I also took last night just a quarter of the scoop of the
arabinogalactans. Yeah.
So which of those, like, two things happened. I slept I just woke up I feel great.
Awesome.
And so it was like, I was really asleep, where sometimes I kind of wake up and, I really slept. So I don't know. These were the only two things I did different.
Right. So P5P is a cofactor for the conversion from tryptophan to serotonin, from serotonin to melatonin.
Okay.
Bingo.
It made such a difference. And then the second thing, which I thought was kind of opposite, is I have so much energy,
It's awesome.
I do not feel tired,
Because you got a good night's sleep.
Well, that's that goes
right.
Yeah.
But I cleaned my house this morning. I was at the grocery store at 9 o'clock, and I've just been boom, boom, boom. And I thought, this is really neat.
That's awesome! Yay!
Yes, exactly. So it's a celebration.
Yeah, big celebration. I love it.
Exactly.
Love it. Good for you. Yay. And we saw those when we looked at which test will we look at. And then we looked at your genes and saw that B6 was an issue. So
I also found that out with talking to an oncologist that the particular chemo drugs that I had, she said, would deplete your B6. And she said, and you really can't get that back unless you supplement.
Yeah.
I never ever knew that. I mean, I told her the two drugs that I had taken in the chemo, and she said, B6, she's like, you're taking that.
An oncologist that's educated about that.
Yes. And so, I said, I never knew that all this time. So, yeah.
So imagine all the people that could be have a much smoother sail through chemo if their doctors were educated. That's why this is the book. I tried to show it the other day on a call that was audio only, so I'll show it now. But it's a really cool book, Herb, Nutrient, and Drug Interactions.
Okay.
So you can pretty much look up any drug in there, and it'll tell you all the nutrients that it interferes with absorption of, and herbs and stuff as well. You can look up herbs as well. So, I mean, it's not like something everybody should have on their desk, but every doctor should have it.
Right.
A doctor that prescribes should have it and should look it up before and tell people, oh, you need to eat more of this, or you're going to need that, or, you know, here's some herbs you can take along with that to make sure that you don't deplete this pathway. And then have years later have other problems that result.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was a miracle for me, and I feel great.
Awesome. So glad to hear that. That's wonderful.
Yep.
And welcome, Sarah. Hi.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
So everybody so far has checked in a little bit. Would you like to check in?
Oh, sure. You know, yesterday I drove a car for a very old friend of mine who's 94 down to St. Simon's, and I hadn't seen his wife since I started the ERC. And she said to me, oh my God, you have completely restored your health. I didn't even recognize you. And that was really nice.
Oh.
And then she says, come on, honey, let's go have lunch together. We'll have shrimp and hush puppies and you can tell me all about it.
Well, start by telling you ain't going to have your shrimp and hush puppies. That's
fine. Yeah, I told her, well, that's how I did it. You know, I quit that. And then she was like, forget it.
Oh, funny.
Anyway, that was really nice.
Oh, sweet. Very good. Yeah, it's that glow that you have that, you know.
It's ERC glow.
ERC glow. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Our food literally becomes our cells. So it's.
That's right. It
becomes so wonderful when, you know, someone can see that in you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was being interviewed today for a podcast for Dr. The spa doctor. Why am I dropping a ball on her name? Anyway, she's a naturopath and she's in Park City, Utah. And she has this whole natural skin line. And she was interviewing me and we were talking about things and how, you know, how things relate to the skin in terms of blood sugar. And we were talking about how people go through a program and people are going to them, my God, you look 10 years younger. Oh my God, your skin is glowing. So that's the kind of stuff we talked about on that interview is, you know, why the blood sugar was so important for all of that. So cool. Anything I can support you with? You missed the tour of Diana's garden the other day. We did it on the call and she said she will take us out into her garden again today. So she'll show us some other parts. So I think that would be fun. But while she's outside. Yay. Maybe now she's an expert at it. The other day she was like, oh, I don't know how to do this. And now she's just like charging along and put it down. Perfect. Go ahead and open your mic and tell us what we're seeing. Oh, I'll unmute it. Oops. Oh, it won't let me. Oh, I'm not host. Lynn, can you unmute her? Somebody's host.
Hmm.
Or maybe you, Angelica.
Let me try. Diana.
No, it has me as co-host, Lynn as host. I should be.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it is Lynn. I can't unmute her.
No, you can't.
She's not letting me unmute her either. She's going to have to do it.
Yeah.
Weird.
Oh, I think she's got the mouse.
She's trying.
She's trying to see. This is probably a glare.
Yeah, probably hard.
Probably a lot of glare, yeah.
The garden and laptops don't mix.
No. I've tried it. Sit by the pool and do the laptop, and like, I can't see anything.
I know. You sit there the whole time going, what?
That's probably better. Nature time is nature time. There you go. Oh, there she goes. She's getting some.
Got it? I keep trying, but
I know it won't let me either.
Okay, I got
oh, there
it.
She is.
Yay!
Yay!
Except some setting that says do not. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, sorry about that. Oh, there goes the mouse again. Technology. I cannot see because of the glare. So you guys are going to have to tell me. Okay, Dennis, you want to move
hey, Dennis.
A little bit? Beautiful plants. Thank you, honey. Stand by, though. Yeah, the weeds. Okay, this is just a little outside the door garden. And there's about five or six different herbs out here. And I'm going to put this thing on the stand, and hopefully I'll be able to see it a little bit better there. maybe. Okay.
Wow, beautiful background there.
I love those mountains.
Oh.
Okay. Maybe, just maybe, this will work.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. Okay, can you see that big yellow sunflower up there? Yeah.
Go up a little higher. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Okay. Now, this right here, this is Ella Campaign.
Oh, Ella Campaign.
Yeah, and it's in flower right now. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Do you tincture that?
Pardon?
Do you tincture that one?
Yes.
That's a good immune tonic, right?
That's actually, we use the root for that. That's the only part of the plant that's used. In fact, I've got one that grew on the other side here, and Dennis is going to dig it up so you can see the root.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you do with the flower? Is it just decorative, the flower? Or are there?
Yeah, they're beautiful. They will actually turn into like almost like a seed head, like a dandelion, mm-hmm. and it'll reseed itself wherever it wants. So I let it bloom, and because it's part of the medicine growing.
Yeah.
Grab this one right there. Anyway, the one that I cut down, yeah, that one, beautiful. All right. Anyway, so I've cut down the one that was on the other side, but during the season, it's gathering strength in the roots right now, and once it's going to get ready to go to seed, I'll cut the flower heads off so it doesn't end up volunteering everywhere because it's very easy to start up again, and. And then we wait till the fall till everything dies back, and then we dig up the root. But when I have one that volunteers someplace I don't want it, then I go ahead and cut it down, and he's going to dig that one up right now. And you can see what it looks like. But it's kind of like a marshmallow thing. You use the marshmallow flowers and leaf also, but in this plant you don't.
Okay.
And then down here a little bit lower to the that side. And the deer have been coming through here at night and eating off all my flowers. So
here's me going like this, as if I do this, I'll see around the bend. Looking at myself going, huh, are you crazy? I can't quite see it, but if I tip my head, I will.
If I can see through the glare, have I got it pointed in the right direction?
There you go.
Okay. That's okay. This down here, this is St. John's wort.
Oh, St. John's wort! Woo!
Deer have been coming across at night. Is that in the?
Gosh, they come across at night and eat them.
Yeah, they come
fall asleep.
And the tops off. Just the flowers, the part I need.
Beautiful
boogers. Anyway, there would be another one with yellow flowers on it called evening primrose, which would be about almost as tall as the Ellie campaign right now. Except the deer came across and topped them off too, like a weed eagle. So. Anyway, they're right here, but they've been topped off, and they'll grow back.
Now, let me ask you this. St. John's wort, when I've gotten a St. John's wort oil or tincture, it's red. I just envisioned that the flowers were red.
Amen to that. That was the funnest part of all. When I started to actually work with this stuff, I tried putting it in oil and infusing it, but I had dried herb, and I found out it doesn't work that way. You have to have fresh flower.
Fresh flower.
Yep. And this is one of the only ones I do in oils that I will do that's fresh.
Does it come out red or does it come out yellow or what does it look like?
It comes out red. Blood red.
It comes out red. So that comes out. And there are very few oils like that. Herbalist and Alchemist, you can get that. And it's topically, St. John's wort as an oil is awesome for pain.
Yep.
So I was mixing it with lobelia and St. John's wort and a little peppermint and rubbing it on people where they had back pain or whatever and sending them home with a little mixture of that. But it's also, if you ever have a puncture wound,
Yeah.
St. John's wort in the puncture wound, because it's a neurotrophic, and it helps to restore nerves, and it prevents the tetanus that will result, you know, if somebody has a puncture wound and it closes over and the tetanus grows in there. So it's a really good one for that kind of stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah. So, and then I've got some Baikal Skullcap, which is the Chinese version.
Oh, nice.
It's off to, let's see. I think you can see it right below the Ellie campaign. Okay, can you see me?
We see you up. Yeah, now we see it when you lift it. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
It hasn't flowered, and it does have a purple flower.
Beautiful.
But that one's, that is a skull cap. That's the Chinese version. And that one we use the root only, not the tops. Not but the I also tops. Have the American skull cap. And they're both nervines. So I have a lot of nervines right in this, area. Yeah.
It's called Scutellaria bicamensis, right?
Bicamensis, right. Okay. And then the other one is Scutellaria latiflora.
Latiflora, something like that, yeah.
And the American version, we use the tops and the flowers, and it makes a really nice tincture, kind of just a little bit below valerian as far as being a nervine for calming yourself. So people who have a problem with valerian or don't like it or can't take it, Skullcap is a good substitute.
Good one.
But this Chinese version is very interesting, and one of the reasons I grow that one is it's got a lot of antiviral and antiretroviral activity.
Mm.
So it was kind of an interesting thing that I got that, because I didn't know that at the time. I just got both versions. So anyway, that's my tour for today, for this particular little area, and maybe next time I can do another area. The lavender's in blossom, and I'm going to be cutting that pretty soon, maybe in the next call where we have a video. I can just be sitting up down there. It's only about 15 feet away.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Okay, so Dennis did dig up the roots, so bring that critter over here. Okay. There is the elecampane, and the root has been dug.
What a hardy root.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very hardy.
You don't get it all when you do it.
Yeah, we don't get it all. It'll come up again, too, from that root.
Wow. And how do you have a lot of work to clean it and get all the dirt off, or you just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of work in processing the herbs. But this one, we'll hose it off first and then let it dry a little bit and then work through the dirt, cut up the roots, clean them off with a scrub brush. And then I'll chop them. I'd like to just kind of chop them into little carrot-sized, you know, bite-sized pieces like I was going to make stew. And then we can dry it out and use it for whatever we want to use it for, whether we want to make
eat them. Can you eat them fresh like that? Or is there...
They're not very tasty at all.
Not tasty, okay.
They're quite bitter. In fact, that is what I use to make my orange bitter recipe.
Oh. So
that's what I'm using for bitters, but it's not tasty at all. One of the most handy things that people use elecampane for is it's nature's natural expectorant. So it's an exceptional lung herb for congestion, and it makes a great cough syrup if you infuse it into honey.
Mm.
There's also a thing called an oxymel where you infuse it with vinegar and honey. So there's a lot of different things you can use it for, but most of it's used for respiratory.
Yeah. So
of course I would have to have that.
Yeah. Well, okay. You have a nice variety there, so it's really awesome.
Yeah, well, this is just this my place here. We got about an acre, and there's herbs of all kinds everywhere. I wish I could actually do like a sort of series of little videos that if I had a smartphone or something where I could like not have to deal with glare.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be a little easier because I could actually see what I was doing along the way, but I could just take you through each section.
I'll have to come visit you and take some videos.
Yeah, that'd be great. So anybody want to come along and visit, yeah, you're welcome to, but don't be forgetting to bring your gloves, your garden gloves, and then expect to be put to work.
Forget put to work.
But you will go home with lots of herbs, and because, yeah, everybody that comes here leaves with a whole basket full of stuff.
Nice.
So,
harvest for your food, harvest for your herbs. I love it.
Yeah. And then there's honey trying to close that cork for you. And the dog is investigating.
Well, I'm glad to see you have some nice weather and you're able to be out there with bare arms.
cleaned up a little bit.
There you go. Now it's a little cleaner.
A little cleaner? Oh, yeah.
You ain't going to melt, honey.
There we go. Lift up just a little bit.
It does look like carrots now. You know, once you get a lot of the dirt off, they look like little skinny carrots.
Yep. Yeah, but it's very fibrous, and it's, like I say, very bitter.
So if you were to make a soup or a stew with it and then add other things, that would balance out. Is it so bitter that no matter how much cayenne or chipotle you put in there, it would not cover it up? Or
I'm not sure. I might try that in my next batch of soup. But I would take a cup of soup out and then just like simmer it separately to see.
Do it separately, right. Don't just
ruin a whole batch of whole crop.
Exactly.
No, it is one of the most bitter herbs I have here. So
okay.
It's not my favorite at all.
Right.
But except when I mix it with the orange and all those other wonderful things. So
wonderful. Thank you, Diana.
Y'all are welcome. Hope it wasn't too boring.
Anybody have any questions for me or Diana about the herbs? I think it's a great opportunity for us to get exposed to that. And because, you know, herbs, you go to the store, you buy a bottle or you buy a tincture, and we don't spend a lot of time connecting to the root and the origin. And you probably all have a lot of stuff in your own backyard. I'm going to, next time you come over, Angelica, let's forage after you've learned to forage, right? Let's see what we can find. Because when Katrina. Katrina. There's another Trina I'm going to be talking to in a little bit. Katrina was here. She went in my backyard and she goes, oh, you've got some plantain. You've got some of this. And she came out with this basket full of stuff that we made into salad.
Yeah. So, she wrote a book all about the 13 weeds that can be found almost everywhere in the world. I'll link the book in the chat.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah, I got that when she was at our conference.
Yes.
I refer to it frequently.
Oh, it's just an incredible book. It's so full.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There it is.
Great. The stuff that we call weeds, right? When I was talking about lamb's quarters and purslane, and I was looking them up on the internet, like how do you grow it and all this, and all I could find was how do you kill it? Like round up and use the this and use the that. I'm like, I don't want to kill it. I want to grow it. So apparently it grows pretty easily. You just get the seeds and throw them out there. But
yeah. The weeds, they're like wild Mustangs. You know, they're hardy. They've survived.
They survive,
That's why it's a good idea to eat them. Because imagine that strength going into your cells again, you know.
Right,
really
exactly.
Wonderful. Just reframing it.
Well, I keep thinking I'm just going to go to like Seeds of Change or something like that and buy a bunch of the wild, you know, edible type stuff and just like throw it out in the yard and see what happens.
I live about two in Decorah, Iowa, and I've spent some time there that they have all the heirlooms and things like that. I would actually be a little careful with Seeds of Change. They have changed some of their management techniques management. So you might want to double check that. At least that's my understanding. But Seed Savers, they're a big repository for seeds. Like a lot of their seeds are hundreds of years old that they started with, and they're pure. So
that's called Seed Changers? Seed Savers.
They're a big supplier of the seed repository in Switzerland?
Oh.
There's a big seed suppository there of all the original uncultivated plants. So
awesome.
Like the original apple trees from Afghanistan. So, yeah.
How fun. Yeah. Because we've so far removed a lot of that. Our food that we eat and you buy at the grocery store has been so hybridized and changed that it doesn't even, you know, it's not even close. Yeah, it's still nutritious if you get organic broccoli or whatever, but how different is that from, you know, the wild broccoli that was heirloom and didn't get cultivated for whatever hardy properties they wanted to.
You know, one thing I thought I'd share about elecampane. Well, first of all, it's one of those things you take short-term. It's not a long-term one.
Right.
Like Hawthornberry is some you could take longer term. But elecampane is one of its ruling planets is Mercury, and right now we're Mercury in retrograde. So it's something that we get summer colds actually is related more to some of the planetary energy that comes up. And I apologize if I'm weirding people out. I just, this is what I've been studying. So like next week we have a full moon. It's in a partial lunar eclipse, and the sign it's in is Capricorn. So if you have issues with your joints, your bones, your teeth, things like that, or calcification things like tumors or cysts, things like that, something like elecampane can be really helpful for that because it helps break up some of that stagnation. Cayenne pepper's good, mullein's really good. So it's just another way to support yourself. If you know you have a tendency towards weak bones, osteoporosis, dental issues, pay more attention at the time because it's going to pop up a little more. Be careful when walking, all right? You know, Mercury in retrograde asks us to slow down. Slow down, watch where you're walking so you do not trip, break an ankle, a foot, your leg. So
that happened to me a couple, for me, it's when I do slip like that, I'm so careful now because a few weeks ago I was just walking into a bathroom, right? And I didn't see that it was wet and it slipped and I went down and my foot was actually in pain for 2 weeks and I couldn't run on it. I don't know if it broke something or whatever. It's fine now, but it took a couple of weeks. But that reminds me, like every time I'm walking, I'm looking in to make sure that there's nothing that I'm going to slip on or trip on. So it does make me more conscious, not from a point of stamp of paranoia, but it's just being more conscious of your actions and your movements so that you're not just unconsciously flitting around. So that's a good reminder, really. A really good reminder. Well, we had Mercury retrograde in action yesterday. We had an internet outage at our home, and I came back. I had gone out for an errand, and I came back, and my husband said, well, the internet's down. I'm like, our webinar is in almost 2 hours. What are we going to do? So I'm thinking, okay, we're calling around to all of our friends. It was a global outage in the area. Like, how far global? So we're calling friends, and we found my son who wasn't home from work yet, and he's a half an hour away. I think he might have been far enough, but he didn't know because he wasn't home. Finally, we did find a friend who normally is 20 minutes away, but at rush hour, it would have been 40 minutes. And just after they said, yeah, you can come over, no worries, you know, having to pack everything up and, you know, all that stuff to go do a webinar. And then the internet came back. So I had been on the phone. Lynn helped test this. Lynn and Amy, one of our other team members. And we had figured out a way that I would call Amy. Amy would log in as me and run my slides and hold her phone up to her microphone so that people could hear me. And we tested it and it seemed to work. And sure enough, no sooner we're in like 5 minutes into the webinar, the internet goes down. And we're like, Lynn, type it into the chat, you know, and I'm trying to type to her. And, you know, everybody, I'm like, okay, let people know, don't leave, I'm coming back. And so we went through this whole thing and we finally got me hooked up and doing it. And then the internet comes back and I'm like, I don't trust it. And then Scott keeps coming up and going, you know, he's trying to signal me to switch it. I'm like, you know, go away. No, I'm not doing it. I'm working. It's working. This is working. And he finally came in and wrote this note. It says, negative comments. Sound sucks. People dropping. Let's pause and reconnect. And I'm like, okay. Had he told me that in the first place, but I said, okay. So we went back, unfortunately, but there was all kinds. Oh, and then my recording. So I had stopped the recording when we did that. Thought I restarted it, my backup recording. And I go, no worries, guys, because, you know, the recording through Webinar Jam will be glitchy just like this webinar was. But don't worry, I'll have the recording. And I go to hit the recording, and it only had the first part. So I don't even have a recording of the thing. And it was a good webinar, by the way. It was a really good webinar. So and I'm thinking, Mercury in retrograde. There it is.
But so this is just what I want to share, my experience of it for all of us here. It was interesting to me to see people's responses. I personally thought, of course, I'm wearing earbuds, and Angelica was there too. So, you know, I would love to hear her thought too. But people, again, and I kept saying, relax, slow down, focus, concentrate, listen. We are so used to somebody on a microphone speaking very clearly, and we don't have to pay attention. So for me, the lesson was, this is important for you. Listen. Listen to what she has to say. Listen to this passion she has to teach you. And everybody was like, I can't hear. It's all tinny. She's so far away. Why don't you, you know, and we just have become so conditioned and entitled.
Entitled. That, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, this goes for what we're doing forward, whether it's in our life or our business. Just take a breath, slow down, trust that everything is working for you. And if you yourself to a particular expectation, you don't allow for the beauty of something that could be happening. These mm-hmm. people missed out on the beauty of what she was trying to share because they were that they had to listen to it in a particular way. So I was just, oh, there it is. Beautiful. She just crushed it up.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to go spend a couple of weeks at Diana's on my retreat.
Oh. Yeah, Diana.
There you go.
Herbalism 101, please.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting what you say about the slowing down to listen, because we are used to doing this and doing that and hearing this loud voice and, you know, whatever seeps in, but we're not really listening. And so it reminded me of when on my phone I have my Audible and I listen, and I can't listen at normal speed. I listen at 2.5 to 3x speed. And I have to, yeah, I'll tell you about this though. Listen to this. So I pulled out the other day, like I accidentally hit a button and it started playing in front of Scott, and he goes, what the heck was that Mickey Mouse voice? I'm like, oh, that's my Audible book. It's just on 2.5 speed. He goes, how can you understand anything he's saying? I said, because it makes me focus and listen. So as he's speaking, I can't be thinking other thoughts, because the typical way that people speak, there's so much space between the words that it's easy for your brain to interject and cause you to be thinking of other things and be distracted. But when you have to just focus on every word, and there's the spaces between the words are shrunk. I said, I can tell you a lot about that. I talk to people about what I read. I listen to these books. I share the details with people. Sure, I don't get everything, but I don't get everything if I listen to it at normal speed either. We only really retain about, 10% of what we hear on a good day. But I think that that whole message of slowing down, so the speeding up, like if there's a sound to it, like I was doing with Diana here, right? I was paying closer attention, like thinking if I just took my head around, I'd see what was over there. And if I'm listening and it's tinny, I'm listening, you know, even if it's in my ears, I'm still listening, like leaning into listening, because it, you know, I feel like I'm going to hear it better. Maybe I'm just wacky or something, but you're paying more attention when there's a distraction or a distortion. You have to pay more attention. And I think that that's a good lesson for all of us. But the good news about the thing, going back to that last night, is by the end of the thing, we still had 350 people on there. So if there were the
and, people. And some of them came vocal, back.
Huh?
Some of them did come back, because Christina and the support team were emailing them once they came back. And some of those people came back.
Oh, good for them. Good for them. Yeah. But the thing is also, and this is my opinion. It's not based in some scientific biochemical pathway, but it's my opinion based on all these years. I think that a lot of people's illness stems from the way they respond to adverse situations like that. like as if I can control it. I'm doing my best with two of us. I'm talking into my phone like this. I'm looking at my slides. I'm controlling my slides. I'm trying to keep track of everything that's going on, you know, and Amy is trying to listen to what I'm saying because I forgot to say change slide. So she's just like, oh, she's on the next slide. Like she's doing the best she can. And I heard, well, the slides aren't keeping up with her mouth. I'm like, mm-hmm. You know what? We're doing the best we can here. And we could just say, oh, well, guys, come back another day. We're just going to go have dinner and be done with it. We put this massive effort between the two of us and then the people that like Lynn and Christina and everybody else. And so it's like, I think when people learn to come from a heart filled with appreciation and really see an adverse situation as what's the message here? And like, wow, they're really doing a great job in spite of such a challenging situation, which many people did express. Those are the people that are on the path to feeling better. When you come from a heart filled with appreciation as opposed to criticism, wow. That's where the healing came.
And you could see that the few people on there that really had, because they were actually asking questions or leaving comments during this time. And
yeah,
was it easy? No, but sometimes good never is easy.
Nothing in life that's worth going. I mean, I always say that to people when they say that about, well, it's not easy to give up this, or it's not easy to have to make your own stuff. And I go, well, wow, no, it's not. Have you had a baby? Yeah. Is childbirth easy? No. Is pregnancy easy? No. But the result is like, wow, so worth it. And is getting a college degree easy? Getting your master's degree easy? None of that is. But we don't quit as soon as we go, oh, I'm nauseous. You know, I'm going to quit this pregnancy thing. I'm done. Or as soon as you have your first test and it's like, oh my God, that was so much work. You don't go forget school. Some people do, but you didn't go forget school. I'm just going to do what I have to do and hunker down. And it's the same thing with restoring our health. It's not always easy, right? It's not easy the first few times you're making changes and then you're out in public with people and they're offering you all this stuff and you're going, I'm really hungry and there's nothing here on my diet. It's not easy to say no, but you build that muscle over time, the same way you build up your biceps, not easy to pick up 40 pounds and bench press it. So instead you start small and then you get harder. But if your workouts are hard, a little harder than feels comfortable, that's when the true growth happens. So no, I think nothing really worthwhile or very few things worthwhile are in your comfort zone, right? Or your current comfort zone. The stuff you want is usually just a little outside your comfort zone. And so if they really wanted this information that I was sharing, which I thought was really good information, and it was put together in a really comprehensive way that I haven't seen anybody present that way before. And, you know, just building and everything. I put a lot of work into that. And the ones that appreciated it will take that information and utilize it. And the ones that didn't, you know, I did my best, right? So we're going to do it again on Saturday. So if you missed it, it was a good presentation. It was geared towards health practitioners, so it was a little geeky, but it was very comprehensive in fasting and intermittent fasting and, you know, all the health benefits and what they do, because a lot of you I've talked to about, and, oh yeah, let's just do a little intermittent fasting. And it's like miraculous what happens in the space between meals, especially extended space between meals. So anyway, you were showing us something, Diana. Show us that pink. That was at the St. John's Ward, or was that the Ella campaign? Unmute, because I can't unmute you.
This is the oil. This is the actual color of the lifeblood in that yellow and green plant. Isn't that amazing?
That's so beautiful.
Used in oil. So this is, but you have to have the fresh. There is very, very few herbs that you want to put into oil that are freshly. And that was one of the things I was going to say, is that because they've got the water in them, and water and oil tend to get rancid. They don't mix. But this is the one exception, and it's very, very tricky.
And so, that's what David Winston, who I learned herbalism from years ago, and he's got Herbalist and Alchemist. He says, very few. You're not going to find a St. John's Wort oil like mine. If you do, great. But if it's not this bright red like that,
right,
it's not fresh, and they didn't do it from the fresh.
in while,
that's
while
what you're, when you crush the leaves inside of it.
You can't see it. You can take this little yellow and green plant, and you can look at it with a magnifying glass to kingdom come and not find that purple color until you actually crush it. And it's literally the blood. And that was where the name came from. It was the blood of St. John.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an amazing plant. It has a lot of – every herb has its story, and you can study every one of them for your whole life and still not know everything.
Still not have – yeah.
Yeah, so it's just – it's one of the precious gifts that I have. I mean, just in that one little spot there, just in a couple of feet, I've got five very, very potent and powerful herbs. Mm-hmm. And they're all medicine. I've learned everything about them. I've made it my mission to get intimate with each one, learn everything I can out of every book I can find. I'm always reading, no matter what the book is. I'm always looking up my favorite herbs and learning something new out of everyone. There's no right one book. That's for sure. And then there's the extra added bonus is the conversations with the plant and God, and having the plant and God tell you things that aren't in anybody's book.
That's what I was just going to say. I'm glad you said it, because that's what David Winston would always say to us. He goes, you can read about it, I can tell you about it, but you have to go out and sit with the plant and ask it to give you some of its message. And he was telling a story one day about he was struggling with a patient who had something going on, and it had to do with prostate or whatever else. And he's thinking of the different herbs, and he said, as if he's walking past the nettle, and it said to him, use my root. And he goes, root? I use nettle leaf. I've used, right. But the root? Yeah. And so he just sat with the plant, and he just like sat in the energy of the plant. Maybe you hear words, and maybe you just get an intuition about what it might be good for. And the same thing you guys can do when you buy the powdered herbs or whatever. I have my setup right now, which I love. And I showed it on the last Vital Kitchen, I think, that I went over there and showed how I have it set up. And Angelica's been there and seen it. But what I can do now is, because I can see them and I have the tops, I do that. I talk about doing like a sway test, but I don't even have to do that. Like, it's almost like I reach out and I'll go, no, not today. It's like I get the energy from that plant that I need it. Mm-hmm. And I may even get the idea in my head, like, oh, I really need some reishi right now. And then I'll go, oh, well, let me just test and see. And sure enough, you know, it says yes. So that may sound wacky. It's not scientific, but I think that life is a combination of non-scientific and scientific. And the more we know about the scientific, the more we can appreciate that intuition piece, that energetic connection piece that we have with each other and with nature and with the plants. Mm-hmm. And so if you reach to, like, say you're on a program where you're supposed to be taking X number of particular B6 and you pick it up that day. And I really encourage you, Jeannie, mm-hmm. because you're sensitive to some of that, is if you pick up that bottle and something just says, it doesn't feel right today. Put it back. And that goes for any of the supplements that you're taking. Put it back. Don't take it that day. Yeah. Right? Because it's just your body giving you a message that energetically it's not in congruence with the medicine in that particular herb or food or whatever. Right? And there's some days where I know I should go drink. I'm going to go eat some kale and some whatever. And it's like, I just don't want it. And if I don't want it that day, and I love my kale and I make my big arugula salads and all, but if I'm feeling like, you know, right now I just need some yogurt or I just need some avocado, right? I tune into that. Anyway, just really trust it. And learning how to discern intuition from craving is a really good thing to learn, because sometimes it's like, I just want chocolate right now. You know, because I'm whatever, and I haven't had a pleasant thing happen all day. I just want chocolate. That's not intuition. Mm-hmm. Because there's times when I'll go, oh, I'm just going to make this. I'm going to make some, and I'll pick it up and I'll just hold it to my, like, no, I can't. Mm-hmm. I know that's not what my body needs right now. Right. So we get out of our minds and into our heart. And into just really tuning into, what does my body need right now? And Karen, we gave you some ideas for the fungal thing. And tune into those and say, yeah, that really sounds good. Or no, that one doesn't, or doesn't feel right. And then, go from there.
Yeah. Not everything works for everybody. At all. I mean, we're as an individualist, we're all individuals, just like everything else. Like, we can't all eat the same foods, sensitivities, some things. And then there's those days where you just off and it's just not in the plan today. Yeah. And that's the same thing with the herbs. And that's one of the neat things. When I first moved here and I really started to tune into that one-on-one relationship with the plants and God and getting that tune, I had a recipe for the high blood pressure tincture on a heart tonic. And so I was out gathering up the hawthorn berries and the flowers. Well, actually, I was gathering the flowers and the leaf because that's part of it. And it was out in the far corner of the yard. And on my way back from gathering all that, I had to stop about 5 times because I kept getting this impression, stop, you need to look down. And between my feet, I had to pull 5 different herbs. And I had never even thought of putting any of those in. They were all weeds, probably all weeds. And I kept picking them because I had that, you know, stop, look down, you need that. And so I just kept picking them and I wasn't even questioning. I just, when I got back to the house, this bowl of the leaf and flowers, I had all these other things, and I thought, gee, that's just really interesting. Some of them, I didn't even know what they were at the time. I hadn't identified them yet in my weed book. But I just kind of set that pile aside. I made the tincture, and then I kind of finally identified all of them. One of them was yarrow. One of them was elderflower.
The
elderflower. And I said, why am I putting this in the heart tonic? And I did it, but I started researching, and I ended up basically being able to identify all of the 5 weeds I had picked up, you know, wild things that I wouldn't normally put in, and sat down and did an analysis and thought, you know, every one of those has some little tiny property that could help the heart. I mean, there's heart viruses. So, maybe the elderflower or the yarrow were, to cut off any potential virus. They all boost the immune system. Everything's good. Everything's got something in it. So really listen to that sense on that daily basis. That's still the supplements. I never even thought of that, but I do that too. I'll be in there, grabbing my supplement bottle, say, oh, I got to take my whatever, and it won't feel right, and I'll just put it right back. Sometimes I won't go back to it for a couple of weeks. So, I mean, it applies to everything. We really got to tune into our own inner self, our own inner healer, and that get that line of communication open. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about this program. This is just, do this. It's a standard. Oh, you have this disease. Take this list. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that you teach about how to tune into that stuff and how everything's so different for each person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Finding that sweet spot for each one of us. We've got to get to know ourselves better.
Absolutely. And it's beyond just blood sugar sweet spot, I realized,
It is.
Someone said I should make that like the brand of the company, because it's really about finding your sweet spot in terms of exercise, your sweet spot in terms of quantity of food, quality, your timing, right? People go, oh, well, yeah, I do intermittent fasting. And it's like, well, you may not do well doing it like I do, which is skipping the morning meal and doing afternoon. You may do really well with having a hearty breakfast, hearty late lunch, and then skipping dinner if you want to do a 2-meal-a-day plan. And you may not be appropriate for doing a 2-meal-a-day plan. It may not be good for you. You may need to do it the standard 3 meals a day. And it's all a matter of tuning in and not just doing it because the popular press says this is the way to do it. It's really about, oh, that's interesting, and we all should be researching and learning, which is why we put so much info in the program. But you want to have intuition requires knowledge to be able to get direction, right? So you can have an intuition about something, but if you have no idea what it is, you're going to go put, I don't know, something from your front yard in your stuff. You did what was appropriate. You stopped and you looked them up. You kept them separate. You looked them up. They made sense to you intellectually as well as there. And then you did it. So I think that's why it's important to have the knowledge, but also trust the intuition, because you need that in order to get direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's when I really started to trust that sense in me. That one trip just stands out as just a huge turning point.
Yeah.
I mean, if it had just been one or two, it would have been different. But, to have me picking up 5 different herbs, I was just astonished when I got back inside.
Yeah. Amazing.
Anyway, thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to bring that up, because that's what he taught us is, as you're going in and being in with the plants, sit with them, Find a plant you've never seen before and just sit with it and see what messages it gives you, and then go in and identify it and look it up. Right? Cool.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anything else before we go? Been a pleasure here. Claudia, I get to see you next week. Yay.
You know, the retrograde thing is just freaking me out considering I'm doing this pitch. But yeah, it's all good. Whatever happens, happens.
Well,
yep.
When you say the pitch, you mean that video thing?
Yeah, no, I'm actually pitching.
Oh.
I know. It's a big deal. It'll be whatever it is.
It
I just have
good.
To accept that.
And so yes. Separate, you know, when you feel that pit, that nervousness, whenever we have this nervousness about something, ask what it is, see what you can glean from it. It may be part of it, maybe about preparedness. And so you do what you need to do to be prepared. And part of it may just be your monkey mind, you know, that those old tapes we have of, but if I'm not good enough, what if I, you know? And so I recommend when you get that pit, you know, that nervousness about something that you're about to embark on, just sit with it and ask questions. What does this mean? What's the message in my nervousness here? Right? What am I, and what can I do about it? Right? For me, it was like, oh my God, the thing out, I'm going to create a backup plan for this webinar thing going out, because I had a feeling it was going to actually go out again. I'm going to create a backup plan for it. In retrospect, I should have gotten the car and driven to somebody else's house, but that would have had its own problems too. It's like getting used to someone else's computer and logging, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. So tune into why that's there. I'm going to be doing that video thing that
me too.
I have no idea what I'm going to be doing. Or not.
Me too. That's another thing I'm nervous about.
But it's the nervous about. That's the stuff I would encourage you to really sit with, because when we get nervous about things that we can't control, that's creating stress in the body. So when this all thing, the whole webinar went down yesterday, Scott's coming in going like this, and I'm just trying to breathe and go, okay, we have a backup plan. Here's what we're going to do to try to stay calm. And I think because both Angelica and Amy said to me, oh my God, you stayed so calm, right? And he was like, aiming to get me all flustered because something went wrong. Of course you're supposed to get like this. I'm like, that's not going to help me, right? What is going to help me now is being clear. And you know that in a cortisol state, in that nervous state, it inhibits your prefrontal cortex, which is the high-level thinking, which is going to get you what you need in terms of a complex intellectual kind of situation. So the worst thing you can do before taking an exam, the worst thing you can do before a presentation is to get all stressed and nervous because you're going to forget out what you were going to say.
I think once I start talking, I'm fine.
I didn't forget any of my stuff yesterday. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. I think once I start talking, I'm fine and being prepared for sure. But the pitch is like, you know, it's like 5 minutes. So you have that timer and it's like, and then I'm like, oh.
Yep.
So anyway, yeah, I know I'm fine, but the Mercury retrograde, I was like, oh, I don't want to hear that.
Oh, something was. And again, you know, we can go into things thinking, oh, Mercury's in retrograde. What's going to go wrong? What's going to go wrong? Or, well, whatever happens, happens, and we're going to adapt.
I know. Well,
yeah, you'll be fine.
I know.
And you've done it before. You did it, whatever, last year in Hawaii, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. You did great.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You did. So, awesome.
Karen has a question.
Sure.
Or she had submitted a second question, apparently.
Oh, today? But earlier? Because I didn't see a second one.
Just before the call.
Oh.
And it had to do with the fact that you may or may not remember that for many years I've had this astronomical level of vitamin B6. And the doctor said there's nothing we can do. And you had suggested that perhaps I had the MTHFR SNP, or I wasn't taking or didn't have enough B12 or the right type of B12. So then I did my genetics. And it came out that I should not take methylcobalamin B12 and needed to take like adeno or however you say it.
Yeah, adeno or hydroxy. Mm-hmm.
And so I did. And I've taken it for probably, let's say, 9 months. And I got, because I had to have a whole bunch of tests done here just like last week, the B6 number is exactly in the middle of the normal range for the first time in like 8 years.
Wow.
And the B12 is also normal. And the question that I'd submitted was, can it just be literally only that few months changing the type of B12 and not has that kind of profound effect?
It's amazing. You know, what do they say? Like little shifts move big motors or something. There's a phrase about that, right? And when you're in the wrong direction and just this tiny course correction, right? You look at a plane, right? It's going. It's heading towards Australia and you do a tiny shift correct and you just length the time goes and now it's heading towards Antarctica. Right. So it is. And we don't understand enough about all the complexities in every single pathway. And we probably could pull out a biochemistry book and try to tease this apart to understand. Mm-hmm. But yes, those kinds of things can happen quickly. 9 months is a good length of time, too. So it's not it happened in 3 weeks.
One of the things that prompted or that was in conjunction with having these labs was all of a sudden one day I realized, oh my God, I've been sleeping without socks and my left foot is not freezing cold. Because you may remember that I already had peripheral neuropathy and I was worried that having that very astronomical B6 level was exacerbating those symptoms.
Yes.
So when I realized, oh my God, I can sleep without socks. I mean, that's probably kind of minor for everybody, but it's, for me, it's like I've done it for years and now I'm not doing it. And it's just hysterical, actually.
Yeah. But, interesting, right?
But yeah, so it was just a, all right, I will carry on doing what I'm doing.
Carry on. And the thing is, a lot of times when we look at labs and I talk to people, I'm not looking at what do we do for this problem.
Yeah.
I'm looking for what are we going to do about this imbalance and what could be causing this imbalance. And, you know, the ripple effect of correcting one imbalance can be huge.
Yeah. Right?
And I'm not going to pretend to even understand it, but I have curiosity. Now I want to pull out the thing and go, okay, I want to know exactly how that happened. You know, we just have to trust it also that, yeah, the body's so brilliant. And that inner healing capacity is so intense that we just have to get out of its way. You know, you've seen me in webinars show the boulder, right? Mm-hmm. The big boulder. Our job is to break that boulder, get that boulder off to the side so we can just go through and get to our destination. And sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Okay, thank you.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
All right. So we will meet again. If anybody's going to be on any of the other calls, Karen, you're probably going to be in bed by then, hopefully.
I don't know.
What time of day is it now?
It's 8:17.
8:17. Oh, and it's still pretty light out.
Good. That's because we're in kind of the longest part of the year.
Oh, and how late does it stay? How late does it stay light?
Right now, probably until after 10.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I like that idea. I understand, though, that for the folks in Alaska and Northern Canada, that it's actually, it's horrible having
the sleeping
going into 2-3 in the morning. Yeah. People have horrific sleep issues because they just don't have the signal that it's dark and nobody goes to bed and then they feel awful. And so I think that balance, I love 10, you know, 10 to 11 would be ideal. Just have daylight until then and then go to bed and get up and have daylight again at 6 a.m. and have that just lovely. Yeah. Good. Well, you enjoy. And anybody I see later, I'll see later. And if not, we'll see you probably next week. All right. Oh, Mud Sunday. Aren't we having there's something happening Sunday. Isn't there a
lab retreat?
The lab retreat. And that is it. Is that the elite only?
It's for elite only. Right now we have Paula, Sarah, and who's the third person?
Let me check.
We have three people that are signed up. Mm-hmm.
So we'll have a nice cozy day, whatever you need help with, whether it's labs or whether it's reviewing your genetics or whatever. We'll have that intimate day.
Oh, Sandra, the labs are happening.
Yeah. Mary, Karen, you could be there. It's during the day. Yeah.
I'll think of something.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, you never know, right? When you hear somebody else talk about something and something comes up and, you know, whatever. We're all inspiring and motivating. We can have fun together. So whatever. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Have a great rest of the day. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Hi, Janet. And Paula. I didn't get to say hi to Paula, but hi, Paula.
See you later, everybody.
See ya. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Diane. Good work, Paula.